In 1943, we're visiting, as we remember that year, Arcade Church in County Carlow, another church in Fianna Mhaigh Sula Thaidhg in Ardoyne Union, dedicated like Fianna to all the saints. A very elegant church, and nearby, and it's one of the other things that makes Arcade famous, is a famous five-arch granite bridge over the Slaney, which was built in around 1760. It's quite a thing to contemplate. Used a certain amount these days for kayaking and swimming. But I often think those of us who are preoccupied with church architecture sometimes don't look as much as we should at bridge architecture. And some of the bridges of Ireland are amazing. Their capacity to allow enormously heavy vehicles to cross over them when they might only have been built for horses and carts. It shows the skill with stonework of our ancestors. And of course, bridges are closely allied in their purposes to churches, as well as being very practical, and bridges over the Slaney are very practical. I remember once when the Slaney was being in flood, being caught on the other side of it, trying to get home to Kilkenny, and how hard it was to find a bridge I could actually cross. But of course, bridges are significant in churchy language, because one of the ancient words for priest is a pontifex, a bridge builder. And priests are meant to build bridges between God and humanity and God and people. They're meant to be reconcilers. And bridge building reconciliation ministry is an enormously important role, not just for the churches, for many who lead us towards a better society. And many will remember how Mary McAleese regarded bridge building as being the motto and the emblem of her presidency, and how the bridge, the great bridge over the Boyne on the M1, is the Mary McAleese Bridge in remembrance of that particular service of bridge building that she did. That is a train of thought that goes on from the bridge at Arcade. And as we think of bridges and natural things and rivers and features of the countryside, as I go back to 1943, again taking a break from the war, I'm getting near enough in my reminiscences now to be in the presence of people I once knew. And the Trinity College professor and eminent botanist David A. Webb, I knew in his old age when I was chaplain there in the 1990s. But in 1943, as a very young botanist, he published a seminal book, An Irish Flora, which was produced in many subsequent editions. It remains really the handbook on the subject, and it was mostly about the wild flowers, the wild grasses of Ireland. And in many ways, what Webb wrote was ahead of its time ecologically. He was particularly interested in the wide range of natural and distinctive grasses here. Our island flora may be small because of how we have been cut off from the European mainland, but there's much among it, not least grasses, in danger of being lost if we lose a carefully balanced ecosystem. And I want to quote some words based on Webb's book. Ireland owes its designation as the Emerald Isle to its mild winters and damp summers, which result in year-round greenness. Despite the small area of woodland in the country, and as an aside, that's an interesting comment given how Ireland was once so much wooded and what we've lost. But to return to the text, despite the small area of woodland in the country, many plants which on the continent and even in Britain are characteristic of woodland are abundant here in open country, this being especially so as one travels towards the west coast. And that's what makes Ireland somewhat distinctive. That description of the west coast over and above more obvious distinctive things like the burren is worth noting. And I remember it was something that Webb told me to look out for. And it was what he was studying in the early 1940s when others were looking at and fearing the arrival of German warships. He was carefully looking at the grass and left a seminal account of us for us to enjoy as we stand on the bridges looking at water and at vegetation.